Get ready to jump the boards and go behind the bench with the Anaheim Ducks coaching staff. From untold stories to the X's and the O's, we'll explore it all right here on Behind the Bench.
Welcome to a new Behind the Bench here on Ducks Stream. Alexis Downey joined by the Anaheim Ducks Assistant General Manager and Director of Amateur Scouting, Martin Madden. Martin, the NHL draft is just around the corner, and you've been a part of the draft process for about 15 years or so in your role with the Ducks. In what ways have you observed the process change over the years?
More information, all kinds of information, you know, more scouts being involved in the process, more data being available for further analysis, more scrutiny, more hype, more everything, really.
With the impact that data has really in the game now, I'm sure that certainly, I mean, you mentioned it having a factor in the scouting aspect too.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that the idea of using data is new. You know, I was personally thinking about it while I was in university, so I'm sure others were as well. But the availability of useful data with some services that have been available in the last 5 years has really increased the capacity to use that data to come with predictive view of players from a different angle. So it is definitely part of the process. I would say it's something that we do in conjunction to our scouting. We don't try to mix both. We try to come at it from different angles independently.
When would you say is the busiest time of the year? Obviously the draft being for scouting, but like outside of that, when are other busy times during the season?
The start of the year is always very busy because you want to get those viewings in before players get hurt. Because inevitably there is going to be one or two major injuries and you just want to get those visuals. It's nice to go back and watch video, but early in the season, everybody's going as hard as they can to get as many viewings in. So that's a really busy time. World Juniors, so early, late December, early January, lots of different tournaments. Many teams have their first scouting meetings as a whole group. We get a better picture of the draft at that time because it does change a lot from what we saw in the summer at the first tournament to, okay, now the World Juniors is over. Half the season is gone. Most of our, you know, we've seen most of the important players. We've seen how they've progressed and the picture changes and it continues to change. So I think there's a little lull probably in towards the middle of March, just before the start of playoffs around the different leagues, whether it's pro or junior or college. Mm-hmm. And then from mid-March on to right after the combine, really. So a few weeks ago is probably our busiest.
What are some characteristics that you look for in, you know, these younger players now?
I don't think it's changed all that much. You know, like I said, it's a good player is a good player. And it was the case in previous eras. You have to be able to think the game, see the game, be aware of what's going on the ice. You have to be competitive. This is a competitive sport. Mm-hmm. You need to want them to want it more than the next guy. And you have to be a good athlete. I think those are things that we've looked at all the time, but everybody has their imprint on how they want to build a team. And at the edges, things change, you know, and and the game has changed. So you have to adapt to the different types of players that are being successful now versus 30 years ago.
And you talked about, you know, World Juniors as one of those examples to scout some of those players. But are there any challenges in, you know, scouting European players? Because obviously the travel is a little bit further sometimes for that.
Yeah, we do have our European base of scouts. So we get our regular stream of reports live from Jan, Miko, KK, Pavel, you know, so that is, I wouldn't say we have a less of a handle. For us living in North America, just takes a little longer to get there. But I think that has changed a lot over, mm-hmm. you know, from when my dad was doing it 40 years ago in this role, where they would probably only see the European players twice a year live. Now, pretty much every team has a steady stream, even of North American scouts that travel over and get a regular look at the European players.
Have you been in a scenario where maybe you've gone to see a certain player, but then been there and saw someone else that kind of surprised you at all? And have they ended up on the Ducks?
yeah, absolutely. it's happened. You know, not a really, the example that I can think of right now is a player that was not, actually didn't end up being a Duck, but he ended up being an NHL player, Team Heed, that we drafted many moons ago, and we ended up being at a tournament in Sweden while the ash cloud was over Scandinavia. And instead of being there for 2 days before the U18 tournament, we ended up having to spend the whole tournament there. So we saw him 6 times instead of 2, and he ended up being one of our picks. I think it was in the 6th round that year. So it happens.
So in the past 4 drafts, the top 10 players that have been chosen from the Ducks side, Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale, Mason McTavish, and Pavel Minchikov, does it give you a sense of pride in seeing their strides and their growth in these recent years since being drafted?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we live for, mm-hmm. really. That's what we travel for, you know. We're on the road a lot, and everybody's super invested and passionate about hockey and the Ducks. And when we draft these kids, we follow every footstep, every stride, and we want to see them succeed. You know, sometimes we're hard with them. Sometimes we're too easy with them. It depends on the personalities of the scouts and the player, the personnel interacting with them, but we all care deeply. So to mm-hmm. see them succeed at their level is really important, you know, for the morale of the staff, really, and obviously for those players.
How much interaction do you actually have with the players through the scouting process?
In their draft year, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say most of that is done through the regional scouts. So the regional scouts' responsibility is getting to know the player and the person. So that level of interaction is done mostly by our guys at that level throughout the year. I leave it up to them how they want to approach it. If they want to be talking regularly, or if they want to get their updates from the coaches, the general manager of those teams, billets, but ultimately they probably meet them 2 or 3 times during the year. And as a staff, we get together and meet them at the combine and pre-draft as well.
Now at the combine as well, how much does that help you guys, you know, kind of solidify some guys that might be on your radar as well too?
Yeah. It's another piece of data, you know, the fitness testing, as well as, okay, now you've got 65 players that you are seeing in a 5-day period, and it gives you an idea of where they are physically, where they are in terms of, you know, maturity, what makes them tick a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still only a 20-minute interview, you know, so you get a sense of the personality. But we've done our background work before then, and I think by that point we have pretty good handle on what we think of them as people as much as players.
With this 2023 draft this year, how does it compare to past years?
Yeah, tricky question, because I know what everyone wants to hear, and I know what everyone is saying out there, that it's the best draft since 2003 and it's unbelievable. You know what? The top of the draft is great. And then we'll see 10 years from now what the rest of it looks like. You know, statistically, it does look amazing for at least the first two rounds. And on that note, I do think we're going to get four really, really good players. Mm-hmm. We're excited as much about our second round picks as we are. Well, maybe not quite as much, but as our first round pick.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
We're going to get some good players.
So many draft picks in those first three rounds in general for the Ducks this season. Does that kind of put any pressure? Do you feel that with your staff, or, you know, is it more just the excitement for it?
No, it's the excitement. I don't think
that's awesome.
We've been together as a group for so long. You know, we know each other. We've been through some really good drafts. We've had some misses. We've gone through that realm of emotions together. Mm-hmm. We trust each other, and we're super excited to get the opportunity to make so many picks, you know, or at least play around with those picks to get players we like better. You know, we'll see what happens on draft day, really.
Mm-hmm. You talk about those emotions. I mean, walk me through the first day of the draft. I know it's not till the evening. So what goes on during the day leading up to it?
The day of the draft is, I would say, relatively quiet. We meet in the morning. We probably go for a last time over areas of our list that we think our selections will come from. Mm-hmm. You know, we will have spent the previous 2 days to hatch it out again. I know there's some scouts itching to get into another argument before we finalize the list, although it's pretty final as it is now. There are going to be adjustments. By the morning of the draft, I think I like to relax a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, get a workout. We eat lunch as a group. We get ready. We're relaxed. We're focused. Our GM will have all kinds of scenarios, possible scenarios in terms of what might happen mm-hmm. behind us. Is there interest in moving up, moving down? What are the possibilities? And we usually go over those one last time before we head over to the rink.
Now, with day two, obviously, all the other rounds will be that day. So a little bit longer of a day. But how does that differ from day one?
It's a much quicker process. Mm-hmm. Like we have to be prepared. There's no, you know, I remember the first draft I attended, there was still some arguing going on at the draft table mm-hmm. and it's not the way it is anymore. You know, our list is set. We will obviously get the final nod from the regional scout before we make a selection. But it happens really quickly that second day. So we have to know our scenarios, you know, especially this year's case, mm-hmm. we have so many picks in such a short period of time. We have to know exactly what we want to accomplish with those picks. So it happens quickly. About the same time to go through rounds 2 to 7 as it will go through round one on day one.
And this is the third time that the Ducks are picking second overall. To have this opportunity to choose a player that's going to likely have an impact in the organization for years to come, you know, what does that mean to you in this group?
Yeah, we went through it a few years ago with Mason. Mm-hmm. Historically, you look back at the draft and you know that dominant players come from this area in the draft. We know we have the opportunity to welcome a cornerstone player for our team for the next 15 years. We take that opportunity seriously. And at the same time, we're super excited with the player we're going to get. So that's the way we view it.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for joining us today on Behind the Bench. Really excited to get out to Nashville and be a part of the draft as well. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate this opportunity, Alexis.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.